Hello everyone. So today we're going to talk about new application features in MySQL 5.6. So I won't have the time to speak about all the new features, but I've selected some of them which I think are interesting. So we'll see which are good, which are not so good, etc., the limitations, the benefits. But first, let me start with a quick introduction to have a brief recap about replication. So what is it useful for and how it works? So first, why using replication? You can have many scenarios where replication is useful. One of the most common one is when you want to scale out. So this means that you want to offload some of the reads from the master to some of the slaves. So for instance, you have some reports which are very CPU or IO intensive. And instead of running them on the master, it's usually much better to have a dedicated slave for that. Or sometimes you have lots of real-time queries, real-time reads, and you can run some of them on one or several slaves. That's a very good way to be able to handle tons of queries, let's say quite easily. A second good scenario for replication is high availability. So for instance, if you have only one server, the master, if it fails, well, you're down. That's bad. So now if you have one master and one slave, if the master fails, well, you can promote the slave to be the new master, and you'll probably have some downtime, but it may be quick. Another way to see that is, for instance, if you have a data center here in Cologne and you have another one, I don't know, in the US, for instance, if there's something wrong that happens in your data center, your data is safe in a distant location. So that may be also very good for high availability. Replication can be used for backup. So replication is not a backup, of course, but for instance, if you want to run the backup on a slave, it can be very efficient because, of course, usually backups have an impact on the server where it is run. So if it's on the master, it may have an impact on your application. And if it's on a dedicated slave, well, it's not a problem. It's not as easy as it seems because you can have some challenges to overcome. But, well, that's not the main topic of the talk, so I won't say more on the topic. And you can also use replication when you want to test a new version for an upgrade. So, for instance, instead of upgrading your master, you can set up a replication slave and then see if you can replicate without any error, so your write workload will replicate correctly, and you can capture selects on the master and then run them on the slave and see if the response time is the same, if something is better, if you have something that is different, etc. So that may be a very good way to safely upgrade to a new MySQL version. And these are only four scenarios where replication is useful, but you can imagine many more scenarios. So now, how does it work? So let's say you have a master and a slave. So that's the basic configuration. You have writes. Of course, this is on the master. So now what happens? The master writes the write queries on the log, which is called the binary logs. So in the binary log, you have you have all the transactions, and here in the binary log we say that we have events, because in this binary log you have the transactions, so the queries, but you also have some metadata, so we say that we have some events there. And then on the slave you have a first thread, which is the IO thread, which is responsible for reading the bin log on the master and then writing a local copy of all the events, which is called the relay log. And after that, you have, you have another thread, so both are working at the same time. So you have the SQL thread, the second thread, which is a thread responsible for reading the events in the relay log and then executing them. Okay, so the main things are that you have a binary log on the master to record the changes. You have a local copy on every slave, which is the relay log. And on the slave, you have two threads involved by replication, the IO thread and the SQL thread. There are a lot of things that could be interesting to notice, but it's the main description. Yeah, it's the main thing you need to know here. Oops. I've missed a slide. So first thing. Oh yeah, the slide is here. Sorry. So first feature I want to talk about is the bin log checksum. So what can be a problem with replication? Sometimes the master and the slaves can have different data, even when replication is running correctly. So for people who are not very used to MySQL application, that may sound strange, but what can be the reasons? First one, non-deterministic queries. So what is a non-deterministic query? It's a query that can have different results when you execute it twice on the same data set. So for instance, you will execute it on the master, you have one result set, you execute the same query on another server, for instance, a slave, and you have another result set. And if it's a write, it means that you will write different things. So that can be a problem. Replication assumes that you're always writing on the master. If you write on the slave, well, that can be a problem, of course, because the writes on the slaves won't be replicated to the master, so you're creating inconsistencies. In MySQL, you have replication filters that may help you to say, okay, on the master, I have the whole data set, but on the slave, I want to have only this database or only these tables, right? But if you use the filters, if you don't use them correctly, you may have some inconsistencies. So some write queries will be filtered when you don't want them to be filtered, and in the other way also. Another common problem is when you're using a non-transactional storage engine like MyISAM. So here you can have many, many problems. One thing is to, for instance, if you have on the master transaction with a MyISAM table and an InnoDB table. So you are starting the transaction, write on the MyISAM table, write on the InnoDB table, and then roll back. Okay, so when you roll back, the write on the InnoDB table is rolled back. On the MyISAM table, unfortunately, it's not rolled back. And as the whole transaction is rolled back, it's not written in the binary log. So it means that it won't replicate to the slave. The problem is the write to the MyISAM table has been done on the master. So it has been done on the master, and it will not be done on the slave. That will create inconsistency. That can also be true for a statement with MyISAM. So for instance, if you have a statement with MyISAM which will update a lot of records, but the statement fails, or the server crashes halfway, you can have some of the rows that will be changed on the master, but again, the statement will not be recorded in the binary log, so it won't replicate to the slave. So again, inconsistency. And you can have bin log or real log corruption. It can happen, and you can have many more problems. So to help us with that, we have in MySQL 5.6. Sorry, before 5.6, how could you check if you had inconsistencies between the master and the slaves? Well, you had nothing on the server, so your best option is to use pttable checksum from Percuna toolkit. So it's a tool, so here, for instance, it's run on the master, which is on localhost port 22585. Not sure if you can read this correctly. And we want to check only the database, the Sakila database. And we have some results. And what we can see here is that we have an inconsistency. So it's in the diffs column. And this inconsistency is in the Sakila.payment table. So it indicates that one of the slaves has a problem in this table. Okay, so when you know that, you can do many things to fix the things or to find exactly where the inconsistency is. But it is an external tool, so that's good. But we'd like to have something internal to the server. So now on 5.6, you can enable checksums on the slave. So first thing to do is to enable the checksums on the master. This is done by default, so with the binlog checksum setting. So it's set to CRC32. And it means that every time you write something to the binary log, you also have a checksum that is written. Okay, and then on the slave, you can say that, okay, the slave should verify the checksums. Again, it's enabled by default. Now, what happens if you have a relay log corruption? Well, replication will stop. This is good, because with the versions before, sometimes replication didn't stop. So you had a corruption, so you executed something that was not what was intended to be executed, and it went on silently. Here, in any case, you will have an error and a message. Okay, so the thing that I wish could have been improved is the error message, because you can see that, okay, we have an error, but the possible reasons are, it can be this, or that, or that, or that, or that, etc. So it's great to have an error, because it allows you to know that something is wrong, but the message is not very meaningful, so not very useful. If you want to have something more meaningful, you can use MySQL binlog. So if you use MySQL binlog with this option on the relay log, okay, you'll have event CRC checked, check failed. Okay, that's much clearer to see that you have a relay log corruption. Okay, so again, that is enabled by default on 5.6, so you don't have anything to do. You can also verify the checksums on the master. So with master verify checksum equals on. So this is not on by default. You'll have to do that. This can be done at runtime, so quite easy. The only problem, in my opinion, is that even when this option is enabled, it won't prevent you from writing to the binary log file, even if it's corrupted. At least it won't stop the writes on every circumstances. And yeah, I would have hoped that when the option is on, well, as soon as you have a corruption in the binary log, everything should stop. But that's not a problem. So if you want to detect the corruption, you can use show bin log events. But again, that's a manual operation, so that's not so good. What are the limitations? So I've told about a long list of items that can cause inconsistencies. And with the binlog checksums, well, it will help here, but not for that, or for that, or for that, or for that. Okay. So my opinion is that, okay, that may be useful, but in no way it can make sure that your data is safe. Or it may be a bit safer, but it's not 100% safe when you turn on binary or relay log checksums. Okay. It has a CPU overhead, of course, because you have to compute some checksums. And it can be a problem, because it's quite common that on the slave side, you have a CPU bottleneck. So replication, we'll talk about this limitation later, but replication has a big bottleneck. It's that you only have one thread that is executing the query, the replication query. So on the master, you can have multiple threads committing data, but on the slaves, all the writes will be executed serially. So it's very easy to have a slave falling behind because he's not able to write as fast as it should. And the problem is sometimes that the CPU is at 100%. So if you had more CPU work, well, you had more opportunities for the slave to be behind. That may not be that good. And last one, well, very often when you have really low corruption in 5.0, 5.1, 5.5, it's detected because it triggers a replication error. So you know that there's a problem. So, okay, it's probably better with the bin log and the really log checksums, but again, I'm not 100% convinced that it's great to have it enabled. Okay. Okay. Second feature now, crash safe slaves. What is the problem there? The slave, as we saw in the diagram before, the slave is reading the binary log, the data from the binary log, and is executing the queries. So it has to store where both threads have read and executed. Okay, so and this information is stored in files by default. So relylog.info and master.info. And the problem is, one of the problem is these files are dated after transaction commits. So if we have the time here, we have a transaction, we commit it, and once it's committed, we update the replication information. Okay? And once it's done, we have the next transaction, and then we again update the files there with the replication information. So now, what happens if you have a crash here? Well, that's not a problem because you've committed the transaction, and replication information is up to date. So that's great. But if you have a crash here, that's a problem because here you have updated the transaction, but not the state of replication. So when you restart replication, when you restart the slave, it's very likely that it will stop replication here. So it will execute this transaction again. What is the consequence? It depends. So it can be a replication error. So for instance, if the transaction is drop table, well, first time drop table works, second time drop table will trigger an error. Oh, the table doesn't exist. Sometimes you have nothing wrong. So if you have an update which sets a value to 1, for instance, it will be set twice, not a problem. And sometimes it can corrupt your data in a silent way. So for instance, if you have something like update and set a column is column plus 2. If you've executed the query twice, well, you will run execute plus 2 and plus 2, so plus 4. Not good. Actually, there are more problems because even here, when you update the replication information by default, it's not synced to disk. So it means that even when you have a crash here, the replication information may not be up to date. So you can have lots of problems when you have a crash. So what's the idea of crash-safe replication? The idea is to make the update of the replication information a part of the transaction. So now what you have is you execute a transaction, and before committing it, you also update the replication information. And when it's done, well, this is when you commit everything. Okay, so you only have one commit. It commits everything. And then for the second transaction, same thing. So now, what happens if you have a crash here? So between the end of the transaction, between the end of the transaction and the beginning of the update of the replication information. Well, it's not a problem, because in this case, the transaction will be rolled back. So it means that this part will be rolled back. And when we restart the replication, we will restart here. And so we're good. Okay, everything clear? So now, how can you enable that? To enable that, you will need to add or to change three settings. The first two are meant to tell the server that instead of using the relaylog.info file, you will use a table. And instead of using the master.info file, you will use a table. So you will need to stop the slave first before turning it to table. And you will also need this option, relaylog recovery. So this one is interesting because it's not really mentioned in the manual. So if you read the manual, you'll see that you will need these options to have crash-safe replication. But the strange thing is that by default, the slave master info table, so the table which will replace the master.info file, is not updated at each transaction. So if you use these options, you will see two new tables in the MySQL database, which are slave master info and slave relog info. And they should be updated each time you commit a transaction. So that's true for the slave relaylog info table, but not for this one. So you may think, well, okay, so now I have tables to store information, but one of the tables is not updated. So it will not work. So one thing that you can do is to set sync master info to 1. So this will make sure that at each transaction, the slave master info table is updated. The problem is that can have a performance impact. So it depends on your hardware, but it can have a performance impact. So the right thing to do is to leave this option to the default, which should be 0, and enable relay log recovery. So what is relay log recovery? It will mean that when the server starts up, all the relay logs that have not been processed yet will be discarded. And then the replication coordinates will be recovered from the information on this table. And this is reliable. So it means that on this table, we have the information where we have the information what the latest transaction executed on the slave is. And with this information, we can bootstrap replication again. Say, OK, now you can read binary log from the master from this position and then start executing from this position. So it will work. And it removes the need to have sync master info equals 1. So remember, if you want to have crash-safe replication, you will need to replace files with tables, which is obvious if you read the documentation, but you also need to have this option. Okay, so if you were a user of Percuna Server, so Percuna Server is our own improved version of MySQL, you could have a similar... Yeah, a question? Okay, so the question was regarding this option, relaylog recovery, isn't it written in the manual that you should enable it? And the answer is, I don't know why it's not written very clearly, but the thing is that I've only been able to see that this option is really important by reading bug reports. You know, I've seen people saying that, okay, we have a bug, because when you want to use crash-safe replication, one of the table is not updated, so it doesn't work. And then the people from Oracle told, oh, but it's not a bug. You should enable this one, and it will work. Okay, but yeah, it's not in the manual, not very clearly. So yes, if you're using Percuna Server, you have a similar feature. So it's similar in the goal, but not in the implementation. So if you have Prognos Server 5.5, you have an option which is InnoDB Recovery Update Relay Log, which will on recovery recover the correct position to restart replication. And in 5.1, it is the same option, but it has a different name. InnoDB Overwrite Relay Log Info. But on Prognos Server 5.6, which will be released in a few weeks, should be released in a few weeks, this will be obsolete, and we will use Oracle Crash Safe Slave feature. Okay, so now multi-threaded slaves. So what's the problem here? On the slave, you only have one thread that is responsible for running the queries, and it is called the SQL thread. So, if you remember, on the slave you have the I/O thread, which is responsible for reading the binary logs of the master and writing a local copy, which is called the relay log. And the SQL thread reads the events in the relay log and executes the queries in the events. So everything is sequential. But on the master, you can write in parallel, because you can have concurrent connections on the master that will all write. Of course, if you have a master that writes even moderately, it can write much faster than the slaves can execute the writes. And how can you see that? Well, simply that the slave is lagging behind. So you will see, for instance, seconds behind master, which is not zero, but which can have a value 1, 10, 600. It depends. So to work around that limitation, you have lots of good and not so good solutions. For instance, you can have rotating disks on the master and SSDs on the slave. So the basic idea is that as the master will execute the writes in parallel, it will be faster by default than the slaves. So what you should try is to make the slave execute the writes faster than the master. So even if you're executed serially, it will be able to keep up. So one way is to use better hardware on the slave. Another way is to use relaxed durability. So with InnoDB, you can make it very durable, which means that each time a transaction is committed, you can be 100% sure that it will be persistent no matter which kind of crash happens. But you can also say that, well, I don't really care if I lose some transactions. Usually, what you can do is to have strict durability on the master, which involves more work, and relaxed durability on the slaves. That's a good way to have writes execute faster on the slaves. And you can also find some prefetcher tools, so tools that try to look at the relay log, look at the queries, and execute smart queries to make sure that the data that will be needed for the write is in memory just before the write is executed. So that's a good way to try to speed up things. But another way would be to have several threads executing the queries on the slave. And in 5.6, this is possible in one specific scenario. It's possible when the data is partitioned in several databases. So, for instance, if you have n databases, you can use this option, slave parallel workers equals n, to have n parallel threads executing the queries. One thing, again, which is not very manual, it's that you should use a crash-safe replication, so the tables to store replication information and not the files, because you will not be able to recover correctly from a crash if you don't use that. Okay. So what happens then is that the the old SQL thread as a coordinator, and the other threads, so the worker threads, will execute the transactions in parallel if the transactions come from different databases. So let's explain it visually. Standard replication, you have log three transactions on DB1, on DB2, and then on DB1. How is it executed? Well, serially. So you first execute transaction 1, then transaction 2, then transaction 3. No choice. Then with two parallel workers, you have the relay log, and then you have a coordinator here. And the coordinator reads the transactions, so the events in the relay log, and it will see that transaction 1 and transaction 2 are independent. They are from two different databases, so they can be executed in parallel. And then transaction 3, okay, it's on DB1, so it must be executed after this one has finished. So it will be executed here. But what you can see is that it's much better, because instead of serializing everything, you have some parallelism. Okay. You can have some information in a specific table, which is again in the MySQL database, which is slave worker info. So here you can see that it's the second row, so it's the information for the second worker. And you have the position, etc. Lots of things. About positions, one thing which is interesting is that as you're working in parallel, the notion of position, as we had in the standard replication, is not so clear. So what you have now is that transactions are not guaranteed to be executed in the order of the bin log or the relay log, because they're executed in parallel. And it's not a problem, because it's only done when the transactions are guaranteed to be independent. So if you have transaction 1 on DB1 and transaction 2 on DB2, well, you can execute them in any order. It will work. But it will mean that you can have execution gaps. So for instance, you have your relay log with transactions, and let's go back here. It's possible that you will execute transaction 1 and then transaction 3 before transaction 2 is executed. So this is an execution gap. So instead of having everything here executed, you will have this transaction and this transaction, but not this one. And of course, this may cause problems when you want to recover. If you have a crash and this one is executed, this one as well, but not this one, how does it work? And the answer is it's not a problem, because even if the position reported by show slave status is not accurate, because it's a position that corresponds to a checkpoint, so the latest known position where everything has been executed, when you recover, all the transactions from the latest checkpoint are all checked. So you have the latest checkpoint, and so everything before is guaranteed to be executed, and then you have the other transactions where some may be executed but not the others. And on recovery, replication will check every transaction to see if it has been executed or not. So recovery will work automatically. A few limitations. It's only useful if the data is partitioned across several DBs. If you have one database, yep, question? Okay, so the question is about how to monitor the replication delay. Is it by ptr bit, for instance? And the answer is that by default, you have seconds behind master in show slave status, which is good, but in some cases, it doesn't work very well. For instance, if you have master 1, replicate to master 2, replicate to slave, then when you look at show slave status on the slave, you have seconds behind master, but it's behind master 2. So you don't know the delay behind master one. And this case, ptrlbit is very useful. And also sometime, the delay is not reported correctly. And with ptrlbit, as it is a timestamp difference, it will be much more accurate. So yes, if you really care about delay monitoring, ptrlbit is way better, for sure. Yes, so the question is, can we use ptrlbit for only one database or for several? Well, and the answer is you can use it for several databases. So the goal of ptrlbit is to write a timestamp every second on the master in a separate table, in a separate database. And then on the slave, you will compare where you are with the master. And you computed the delta, and you have the delay. So it works independently of the data you have in your database. OK? Question? OK, so the question is about the independence of data. So can we use multi-threaded replication with several databases, or even with several tables, right? And the question is, you must have several databases. So if you have, let's say, 100 tables in one database, it won't work. If you have 15 DB1 and 15 DB2, it may work. Okay, so it's really it's really partitioning by database. So this is one of the limitations. Several limitations, even if you have several databases, if your transactions are cross-database transactions, so involving in the same transaction DB1 and DB2, it will not be very useful, because the implementation assumes that the transactions are really independent. And if you have transactions having both databases, well, independence cannot be guaranteed, so it won't work. And I also think, but this is my personal opinion, that if n is too high, so for instance, if you have 500 databases, you're very likely to hit over bottlenecks, CPU, disks, or even in the implementation. Not sure, but I don't have any benchmark to share, so it's only my opinion. And another limitation is that show slave status output must be taken with care, because, again, the position which is reported is not accurate. It's not a problem, but if you're very familiar with looking at the position from show slave status, it's not that good. Okay. Very quickly, the global transaction IDs. What's the problem? If you have the same event, so the same write, and you look at this write on two different servers, on the binary log of two different servers, it's very likely that the position, the coordinates, or the file and position will not be the same. And it makes replication difficult to configure. So for instance, we have this topology, and we have slave 3, which is a slave of slave 2, and we want to make it a slave of, for instance, slave 1. We know where replication stopped, and we know that for slave 2, this is this position. This is these are the coordinates. Unfortunately, on slave 1, the coordinates are completely different for the same event. And on the master, it's also different. So how can you reconfigure replication? Well, it's a bit complicated, because you have to look at the relay logs here to find the last query that has been executed, and then try to find it here in the bin logs to find the position. So it's very tedious, it's very error prone, and that makes it very complicated. Specifically, when you have to do that in an emergency, so if something failed and you must reconfigure application very quickly, there's a good chance that you'll make an error. So what is a GTID? A GTID, basically, it's a unique identifier for a transaction across all the servers. It has two parts, a source ID, like that, and a transaction ID, or here, a sequence of transaction ID. And now, if we have the same diagram, but with GTIDs, if the last transaction executed on the slave has this GTID, it's exactly the same on all servers. So if you want to now connect slave 3 to slave 1, well, that's very easy. You don't have to look for position. That's nice. So how can you enable GTID replication? Well, it's a bit complicated. First, you have to make the master read-only to make sure that every slave is in sync. That's the first thing. Then you should change configuration for all the servers. Add these settings. And then you'll have to restart all the servers. And finally, use change master to master to position equals 1. And then you're using GTID-based replication. So this is not complicated. This is not a problem. This is a problem. You have to restart every. This may be a problem. And this may be also boring. Okay, but you should do that. If you don't, replication will fail. Limitation. The first one for me is that when you want to switch to GTID replication, you have to restart all the servers at the same time. So you will not be able to enable GTID on slave 1, then on slave 2, and then fail over from the master to slave 1, change everything on the master, and then it worked. No, what you will have to do is to stop everything, change the configuration, etc., and then restart everything. So it means downtime. You can't avoid downtime. Another limitation is that the bin log should be enabled on all slaves, which of course has a performance penalty, a performance impact. You have some limitations with the kind of queries or so that you can use, but well, okay, not really a problem. And it may be difficult to use with multi-threaded replication because, again, the way things are monitored is puzzling. Well, yeah, let's say puzzling. Just before we finish, a few other features in just one slide. So you also have in 5.6 the binary log group commit, which is something that has been broken for lots of years. You have improved row-based replication, specifically for blob columns, which is great. You have the MySQL utilities, which are a set of Python command line tools that can be useful for GTID replication, but that are not limited to replication. You also have time-delayed replication, so now you can very easily have a slave which is, for instance, 2 hours behind, which may be great if, for instance, you drop a table. So if you have a delayed slave, you have 2 hours to recover the table. And you can back up the bin log from a remote server, which is also nice. So this will be time for questions. You can send me an email if you want, if you have some questions. And just before the questions, I have 30 seconds of marketing, so two slides. So first one, training. So we run trainings. You can have the information here. And we have a discount code for SCON 8 for you. So if you want to have 10% off, it's valid until end of November, I think. We sometimes have sessions in Germany. So, well, you're welcome. And we have a nice conference in November in London, which should be very interesting. And again, if you're interested, we have early bird prices, so very good prices that will end in a few weeks. Okay. So now time for question. We already have. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The question is, what about statement-based replication versus row-based replication? When to use one or the other? So statement-based replication is the default for every version. It was the first mode of replication. So what is statement-based replication? It's basically that when you run insert something on the master, on the binary log, you log insert something. The good thing is that it's very easy to read the bin logs. It works quite well. The problem is that I talked, for instance, about non-deterministic queries. So with statement-based replication, you may have this kind of queries. And this is one of the reasons why you also have row-based replication. So row-based replication is, this time in the bin log, you don't log the query, but the changes in the columns. So non-deterministic queries, well, it doesn't exist anymore. The difference is that can be in, let's say, extreme cases. So for instance, let's say you have a query that will update 1 million rows in a table. With statement-based replication, this is, well, one query, one line. With row-based replication, this is 1 million lines. Okay. So this may be the one of the difference. So usually, statement-based replication is less I/O intensive because of that, but it is more more subject to, let's say, corruption or inconsistencies. Okay. So what you can do, and one thing also as well is that with statement-based replication, one thing that can be very cool is that it's easier to have a different schema on the slave and on the masters, on the master and on the slaves. So for instance, when you want to change the schema on a very large table, running an alter table is difficult because it will take hours. So you will change it on one slave and on the other, then promote one of the slaves to be the master, and then do it on the master and with no downtime. With statement-based replication, it works very, very well. With row-based, not so well. Okay, so that may be also something to keep in mind. And you also have a third mode, which is mixed, which means by default statement, and when the write is not safe, it automatically turns to row-based. Okay, so it has not changed from 5.5 to 5.6. And usually, so most of the people are using statement-based because it's the default. Row-based is, in my opinion, very good as well. And I also like mixed replication because it really has the most of the benefits of both modes. Okay. So another question here? Yeah. Okay, so the question was, we are using 5.5 at the moment. Is it interesting for us to move to 5.6? It really depends. So with 5.6, you have lots of new features. I say that, for instance, upgrading from 5.1 to 5.5 is usually very interesting because you have lots of improvements in performance. We have lots of people, lots of customers using 5.1 who have obvious problems with the server. And switching to 5.5, most of the problems. With 5.6, you have more performance improvement. But we don't see many people move to 5.6. And my opinion is that one of the reasons is that 5.5 is already very good. So 5.6, it's interesting. So I think you should try it. And if you see, if it's not too complicated, well, you can move. If it seems complicated and if you don't see any real benefit, well, keep 5.5. Because 5.5, especially if you're using a recent version of 5.5, it's already very good. And question number two?
Change the IP address for the new slave and use it then as
Okay, so the question is, we have a master-slave environment, a small environment, and if the slave crashes, which is the faster? So try to repair application or rebuild the slave, correct? Usually it depends. So unfortunately. So you can have several things. First, if it's not really a problem, if you have some inconsistencies for some time, what you can do is to try to quickly repair replication by skipping events when if you restart the slave and have a replication error. And when replication is running, you can then run PD table checksum to check that everything is correct. And if it's not, you can resync with PD table sync. Second scenario is that you have a crash, you restart, you have a replication error, and even by skipping events, it doesn't work. So in this case, well, rebuilding the slave is probably the best solution. Okay, so it really depends. And if you cannot tolerate any inconsistency between the master and the slave, well, if the slave crashes, and when you restart you have a replication error, it will probably be difficult for you to find the root cause of the error. So you'll probably have to rebuild the server. But my experience is that when people have slave crashes, they usually don't rebuild the slave. They try to restart replication because it's usually much easier. Okay, but yeah, the good answer, unfortunately, is it depends. Okay. Additional questions? No? One, two, three. Okay, so thank you very much.